Good morning, and welcome to Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond, and for the next hour, we will be discussing some people, history, media, and culture of the Twin Cities area. With me, again, as always, James.
Hey, good morning.
Happy New Year, James.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Did you set your New Year's resolutions?
You know, I did, and I have also determined what New Year's resolutions I'm immediately going to fail at.
Yeah, I think
and
I already
give up wholly.
Determined that the day after, I think.
I'm going to be healthier. No.
Well, you know, healthy is not just eating, James. Healthy is state of mind. Healthy is, it's a complete experience, not without besides the food consumption.
See, that's the difference between you and me. You're deep.
Well,
I should eat less hot dogs.
There you go. You know, that'll be my New Year's resolution also.
You'll probably succeed.
We didn't fall off the cliff. The cliff was averted. That was the big story of the week. However, our beloved, or Macy's, we'll call beloved, is headline and minpost yesterday. Macy's abandons St. Paul. Another doomed dinosaur departs. James, when was the last time you shopped at downtown St. Paul Macy's?
Oh, you know, I love to go there once every 15 years.
Well, that's
so maybe once.
Well, I must have kept it in business because I went there 10 years ago to get a tie for a wedding. And I recall being there on a Saturday afternoon. And for those who have not seen the downtown St. Paul Macy's, it's a concrete block downtown. And it was originally Dayton's store and it had some great restaurants. And it was, another beloved structure of downtown St. Paul, you know, next to the World Trade Center, which came later, neighboring to Donaldson's and other, Woolworths, other great retailers downtown. It is the last remaining big retailer downtown. And you can't miss it because it's a four-wall concrete block. It looks like, actually the architecture is the same as the former Dayton store at Southdale before they remodeled it. It's a relic of the 50s, and not one that I would call a classic relic. There's not a lot of architecture or style to it.
Oh, I disagree. Boxes always are classy.
Well, it does have the stripes, the stripes that are patterned on it. I'm looking through this article. This is by Marlis Harris in InPost yesterday, and we are not the only ones losing our downtown Macy's. Honolulu, Pasadena, and Houston are also losing their downtown Macy's, where Mayor Anise Parker refuses to accept the loss. She announced the creation of a retail task force to try to bring back Macy's and other department stores.
I want to know what this task force involves. Is this, I don't think of anything but a task force like flipping tables and hustling people.
Well, I'm thinking a couple of things come to mind. I'm thinking of the telethons that some of our neighboring stations do every so often to raise funds to stay sustainable. And I can't see the Macy's telethon or the Macy's fund drive going very well. And the second thing is Macy's downtown, and the comments have been a little bit lukewarm. I don't think that because it's the Macy's brand that's going away, not the Dayton's brand, that people are feeling too emotionally deep over it. But it's much like our Twinkies, which kind of exploded on social media a couple months ago.
Yep.
When was the last time you had a Twinkie? We want Twinkies to stay. We just don't want to eat them.
I'll admit, I don't like Twinkies. I'm a Ho-Ho fan.
Well, you know.
Those are delicious, but Twinkies are just...
Once you lose your Twinkie, you lose your ho-ho, though.
I know. And it hurts me inside.
You know what? There you go. That my resolution is to eat less Twinkies and less ho-hos, and I think that the Hostess Company is allowing me to
that's brilliant.
Make my resolution this year. But the question is, do we miss these things because we really want to utilize them, or we miss them just because it was there and now it's not there?
I think people would miss it because it's an institution. It's been there so long. It's a tradition. And I don't think people ever expected these things would actually leave. They grew up with it. It existed.
Right.
And people forget it's a business.
Right. Too big to fail, right?
Too big to fail.
Right. Well, if you recall, and you're not too old you're not too young to not recall. You know, Woolworths was one of the oldest retail chains in the country, and they had locations in downtowns, they had locations in malls. You know, in the contemporary 20th century, they were mostly known for being perhaps a competitor to a Walgreens in a mall. And I want to play a ad here, and this was as late as 1980. This was a Woolworths commercial on all the great things you can buy at Woolworths.
Save more at Woolworth right now during Dollar Days. Just $1 for a 2-pound bag of jelly candies or a pack of 4 inside frosted GE light bulbs. Only $1 buys toothpaste, lotion, cleaning supplies, and more. Get 2 foam pillows for just $5 and 2 Easy Care polyester blankets for just $7. Save on men's tube hose, 6 pair, only $5. Take your choice of records and tapes, 2 for $5. Save on Dollar Days Super Value store-wide at Woolworth now.
Let's all go out. Light bulbs and candy.
That's everything I've ever dreamed of.
Everything you need.
Light bulbs and candy.
And if that wasn't enough.
Now, at Woolworths, original hit albums at an incredible price. Albums with 16 to 18 hits by America's favorite stars. Get twice the music of other albums at half the price. Originally $7.98, now only $3.99. Give the gift of music at prices you can afford. Look for the Ronco album display. Great albums and tape, only $3.99 at all Woolworth and Woolco stores.
And within 10 years, they were gone.
Well, you know, if they were still selling these things for $3.99, I'd be there, I'll tell you that.
Isn't that the truth? So, as it goes, we have to live in 2012, but we can cherish our past. And don't worry, there are a Macy's buildings in Southdale and downtown. We will survive. And
it's not like they're entirely disappearing.
No, they're not disappearing. They're the biggest, one of the biggest retailers in the country. They're not going away. They purchased a lot of small chains, and they're here to stay. So if you like your Macy's, shop at it.
It needs your help at this point, I
exactly.
think.
Exactly. Cool. And if you want to join the mayor of Houston's task force, you know, go to minpost.com. You can check out her contact information and maybe go down and join that lead effort. Next, we are going to talk about New Year's resolutions again real quick. And this next commercial I want to play, this is from 1983. And Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller, known from sitcoms and other performance, other entertainment. This is a commercial for GTE from 1983.
Miss Featherston, do you realize how much I've expanded in the past few years?
Well, a couple of pounds maybe, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Miss Featherston, it's time to enlarge our telephone system. I want you to call General Telephone immediately and have them send over one of their marketing representatives. Tell them we're interested in the latest communication services, watts lines, telemarketing techniques, data transmission, etc.
Wow, etc. too, huh?
Get it all with General Telephone.
The telephone you plug in the wall and you had a rotary dial.
Nice.
Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller, a married couple, married, I think, for almost 60 years.
That's impressive.
Ben Stiller's father, and working together frequently. Our guests today are Andre Bernier and Sally Bernier, former Care 11 meteorologists. They worked here in the 1980s, and they were the first, from what I can tell, married couple that were promoted on air here in the Twin Cities as a married couple working together. And they actually did the weather forecasts together as the weather couple in 1987. Sally came here first, and Andre joined her on the forecast and the morning show later. So after our break, we are going to be joined by Andre Bernier. He also wrote a great book called The Extra Mile, A Celebration of People. Andre Bernier and Sally Bernier next on Flashback Twin Cities Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Club 1220, KLBB. I am Tom Osmond. Joining me from Cleveland is former care meteorologist and chief meteorologist at WJW-TV, Andre Bernier. Good morning, Andre.
One more time. Try that one more time.
Okay, good morning, Andre.
Hey, good morning. Are we good and set now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Okay, fantastic. Well, happy New Year to everybody in the Twin Cities.
Happy New Year to you, sir. First question we always have to ask our guests, especially that did weather. What is the temperature in Cleveland right now?
Well, I would imagine we're a little bit toastier than you are, although that's not always the case. Right now it's 26 degrees, and I understand that you are at 10, so... we're a little above you, so if you want a heat wave, come on down to Cleveland.
I think that might be the plan for the show today. It is 10 degrees, and it feels like 10 degrees today. Andre, thanks for coming today. And Andre, you were also the first on-air meteorologist at the Weather Channel, the very first minute of the Weather Channel.
That's exactly right. In fact, if you go to YouTube and you simply search for First Minute Weather Channel, the very first thing that pops up is, in fact, somebody posted the very first minute of the Weather Channel, well, actually the first 10 minutes, and it was Bruce Edwards and myself that drew the short straw, and it was luck of the draw, really, that happened. We had 26 on-camera meteorologists come together, and that first night, we just happened to have the first shift, and interesting to note, Bruce Edwards' real name is Kalinowski. Well, Bruce Kalinowski is now here in Cleveland also, except that he's at the competition station here in Cleveland, Channel 3, the NBC affiliate. So we both ended up in Cleveland 30 years later.
That's great. And what's interesting, and I read your book, and by the way, the book is called The Extra Mile, A Celebration of People. And this book... It's for those that like broadcasting. It's a great book, but it's not a broadcasting book. It's a book that you give lots of tribute to people that have given you insight and advice through your career. And I think it's so well written, and you do such a great job of giving credit to those that gave you breaks or gave you what you needed to be able to do what you wanted to do.
Yep, that's exactly right. And there was really no other way to do it in my mind than through a book. And I'm happy to say that the vast majority of people who were in the book, I was able to get the book in their hands while they were still walking on the earth. Some of them have since crossed over into eternity, but I was glad I had the opportunity to thank everyone in this very special way.
Well, and one of them was John Coleman, who gave you your break at the Weather Channel. And I want to play just a small clip of you at the Weather Channel. This is that first minute, and then let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And good evening, America. Welcome to the Weather Channel, the non-ending weather telethon. I'm Bruce Edwards. Glad to be with you this evening.
And I'm Andre Bernier. Glad you can join us from wherever you're viewing across the country. Hello, everybody.
We were the fortunate pair that happened by the luck of the draw to choose this premiere showing of the Weather Channel. We're very pleased to be with you tonight. And without any further ado, let's get to the weather happenings across the nation. Headlining the weather news, it was a high plains heat wave.
So who would have thought anyone would want to watch weather 24 hours a day? In 1982.
It was a big, big chance that they were taking. In fact, before the Weather Channel ever had that first minute, and even afterwards, there were all kinds of naysayers that said it couldn't be done, that it wouldn't last a year, that people would be disinterested. We were the butt of many jokes on late-night talk shows with Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Jay Leno. Who would have thought 3 or 4 years later, all of a sudden, they turned the corner, and by then I wasn't there. I was in Minneapolis, but they became profitable just 3 or 4 years later. And, of course, now they're a huge entity.
And how was the time of the Weather Channel? How did that draw on your experience? What do you take away from that? Now in Cleveland, you're the chief meteorologist. What experience there took you through your life?
It was an important part of everybody who became one of the original team members of the Weather Channel, in that There was no other place. There was no other opportunity for an on-camera meteorologist to, A, learn about the country, the entire country's weather system, the little nuances of every little nook and cranny from coast to coast and border to border. There was also no other outlet in television or in cable that gave a meteorologist so much experience in a short period of time. In that, I mean, we once figured out that for every 1 year that a meteorologist was on camera at the Weather Channel, it would take approximately 7 years of a local television meteorologist in a local market to get the on-camera time that we got at the Weather Channel. So we brushed up on our on-camera skills seven times faster than somebody in a local market would have.
And you probably skipped what many would have done of working in five small markets in the time you worked at the Weather Channel, I'm guessing.
Pretty much. I was very fortunate in that I knew John Coleman before I even started my first job at in Cedar Rapids, and that was at what is now KGAN. It was WMT-TV when I was there. And the person who went to work for John, John's producer, was actually my meteorology professor at London State College. Joe DeLeo went to work for John Coleman. So all of that came together, and when the opportunity came for a Weather Channel, and I knew this was developing, it was in its developing stages, and it was in the undercurrent and out of the radars, no pun intended, before anybody knew that that was in its development stages. I knew about it and was really intrigued by the idea and hoped someday to be able to be on the launch team. And I was fortunate that I had the kind of an inside skinny.
Well, it's a great clip. And again, my guest is Andre Bernier. This is Flashback Twin Cities. Andre, you left the Weather Channel to come to Minneapolis. You decided you wanted to leave Atlanta and come where it's cold because that's where the real weather is.
Actually, you're right. I was really, at that point, after 3 years in Atlanta, I'm not a big fan of the heat. I don't do well in the heat. I don't do well in the humidity. Atlanta's one of those pretty places, though, where it's not the super deep south because they're 1,000 feet up in elevation. So they don't get the kind of absolute torrid humidity that, say, Macon, Georgia would, or Savannah. But it was still hot all summer long, and people just kind of went indoors in the summer. And then everybody came out in September and did all of their outdoor things for 9 months, almost like Phoenix, not quite as bad. But I was sick of the heat, and we were looking to head north, and Sally was, my wife was the first person to get a job offer, and that was in Minneapolis. And so we said, let's go. And that's pretty much where we ended up after our Atlanta gig. Because Sally was at CNN before we went up to Twin Cities.
And CNN in Atlanta at the time, correct?
Yes, we were both in Atlanta. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you took the long stretch up to Minneapolis, and you got here, and then you worked at Northwest Airlines, correct?
Yes, Northwest Airlines. Before Northwest Airlines, the very first opportunity that made itself available was this very radio station. 1220 was actually WWTC, and the owners of WWTC thought we wanted to do something really different with AM radio, so they decided to essentially do a duplicate of the Weather Channel, except do it in radio. And so it was 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, weather. So when I came up to the Twin Cities, it was a perfect fit. Since I had been at the Weather Channel in Atlanta, I said, I think I can help.
Marathon and, weather's part of your specialty.
For a little while.
That was, you know, it was one of those formats that it you know, great intentions. It just might not have been sustaining as far as long term. And I think that In fact, the Weather Channel probably competed with the weather radio because people could still flip over to Weather Channel and get that 24-hour visual weather versus go on the radio. And,
right.
And Minnesota audiences also are very, very loyal. And I think that at the time, the good neighbor to the Northwest probably was still providing weather forecasts for school closings and other events, and people were very loyal to that. It's tough to try something new sometimes, and especially as revolutionary as weather radio. But it's very I think it's very interesting and very unique that was tried, and you were part of that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I made some suggestions, and you need to do something unique in radio. And one of the elements, unfortunately, that was missing was really the super live component, especially when there was something really interesting going on weather-wise, and there was an opportunity to get people involved and audience involved. Unfortunately, those that actually steered the boat didn't want to do that. And so I think that was one element that perhaps might have made it successful, maybe not, but... anyway, it is what it is, and so when an opportunity came to go to Northwest Airline as a meteorologist, I thought, well, here's a different opportunity. Why not this?
And I enjoyed.
And so I jumped on board with them.
And I enjoyed it in the book. And you talk about, you come from a TV background. You come from a creative background. Again, this is Andre Bernier of WJW TV, former CARE TV meteorologist. You talk about trying to add some creativity and fun to the Northwest Airline forecast you're providing to pilots, and they asked you to tone down creativity.
Really?
Well, you know what? When you work for an organization that tries to keep things very, very simple for the passenger, and I can see their point. They made a very good point, but of course, with someone who, up until that point, was in a very creative field, I decided to kind of broaden the base a little bit with what we call the passenger forecast. This was a list of cities that Northwest Airlines served, and we had to come up with a forecast for each city, one line, not even a line, one or two words, and a temperature that people could expect as they were leaving the plane. And this was given to all of the pilots on their flights. And so I would start doing things, instead of mostly sunny, if it was going to be high clouds, I'd put milky sunshine, or I would put, blustery, cold, or, something very creative, something very interesting. And apparently that didn't go over too well with at least some of the meteorology folks at the time. And they asked me to, for all intent and purpose, knock it off.
And when,
keep things simple.
And when you were there, Andre, were you the only one that had TV background when you were in that team at Northwest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I was still I was actually doing some fill-in work at CARE 11 at the time. Whenever they needed some fill-in work, if it didn't have any kind of program
conflict.
Interferences
right.
with what I was doing at Northwest, then Northwest will say, "Yeah, go ahead, go do your TV thing and have some fun."
So that had been a good feeling. You finally get, when you go to TV, because at CARE, they probably would encourage a little humor and a little creativity at CARE.
Oh my goodness! The first time, the very very first time I was on, filling in for then Barry Finn, who was a the weekday morning meteorologist at the time. I think I put on the weather map one of my favorites that I brought with me from Iowa, and that was NACITS, NACITS, and it was an acronym. It stands for Not a Cloud in the Sky.
Right, right.
And I put a giant NACITS on the map and explained it and had some fun with it. And the news director at the time, Tom Kirby, during the morning meeting said, just looked at me on my first day and said, NACITS, love it.
Yeah, trademark
just gave
that.
Me good feelings. Like, okay, fantastic.
Let's listen to Andre doing the weather at Channel 11.
Good morning and welcome to Sunrise. This is February 20th. We've made it. This is Friday.
We made it to Friday.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? The work week is ending. Kind of sad, isn't it?
We don't get to get up early tomorrow morning.
No, all kinds of disappointments this morning. We welcome you with us, and you know who's here too?
Andre
Bernier.
That's
yes.
Right.
Good morning, Andre.
Sally. How
good
are you
morning.
Doing back there?
Going pretty good. As a matter of fact, today's record high is 57. We're not going to see that, but we're going to get pretty close. And incidentally, the weather is so boring, we're going to play a little meteorological poker. So get your chips ready, and I hope and I wish both of you the best of luck.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
He's gonna pit you against me.
I know,
this,
and I'm probably going to win, John.
Andre, gambling on the weather. I mean, there's some creativity.